Welcome to episode 78 of Geo Talk. It's a special edition because we're on the road over in New Zealand, and I'm spending a couple of days in the North Island. Initially to come and see the World Cup. I'm here to see an Australia-Ireland game. By the time you hear this podcast, you know what the result will be. It's another 24 hours for me. I'm heading down the road at the moment, heading to Hamilton, which is the home of Radio Nut 50, who you've heard quite a bit over the last few months, over the year or so. So I'm catching up with Alan and with Butterfly Lady, and we're going to be doing some caching tonight and again tomorrow morning, as you would when you're in a new spot, and meeting some of the locals. So hopefully in this episode we'll catch up with a few of the local Waikato geocachers, and also along the way plan to pick up Auckland's original stash, Auckland's first geocache, which was hidden back in year 2000. And also later in the after the weekend, heading down to Wellington for a quick drop in to catch up with some friends and hopefully get Wellington's oldest geocache, also planted in the year 2000. So strap yourself in as I hopefully get some speed up on this motorway heading south to Hamilton, and we'll catch you soon. Having made it through the heavy traffic that was on the motorway heading south, I finally have got to Auckland's original stash, located a little bit south of Auckland, probably about half an hour south. The code for this is GC4B. How cool is that? A four-digit cache. And I'll post some photos on the attached to the notes for this edition, but it's a classic drum. I think it's about a 12 litre drum, probably a little bit larger, maybe a 20 litre container. It's not buried, it's just sitting next to this cattle run that helps light up cattle or sheep, and which is a beautiful one. And it's just a beautiful afternoon, and I must say it's fantastic. This is a beautiful part of New Zealand. Nothing too outstanding about it. We're not on a huge hill, we've not got a big vista or an ocean or river nearby, it's just in the middle of a bit of farmland, and here I am standing with some history. So this is Auckland's oldest cache, GC4B, and we found it. We'll head up back on the road and head now south to Hamilton. Well, I've made it to Hamilton, and now we're on a bit of a night walk in the middle of nowhere, somewhere out of Hamilton. I don't know where we are, so I'm going to hand it to Alan to describe where are we and what are we doing.
Right, there's a bunch of us gathered together, and we're at a place called Lake Naroto, which is a small peat lake in the Waikato area with a nice walking track around it that during the day is a fun place to be.
But at night?
At night, it's dark, isn't it, Darren? It's not actually raining at the moment. I was sort of expecting, and it still could bring a squall through, which would make it different. But there's six of us gathered here, and we're wandering along a track at the moment looking for a traditional. But after that, we're going to go for one of the famous night caches, and there's two of them in this area, and that's going to be a bit of a challenge.
Very good. And what's the difficulty on those?
To be honest, I don't know. I'd need to check that.
Are they fairly complex?
Yes, they are. They're complex, multi-point, glint-type caches. And so we need good torches and keen, enthusiastic people. Hey, this bunch has just found this traditional. It can't have been too hard at all.
They've done well. All right, well, we'll come back in a sec as we trek around Lake
Naroto.
Naroto.
That's it.
As we go finding some night caches.
See, I told you it was over here.
See, that's the second time tonight. Just look there. Side, eh? And it's been there.
Hey, speaking of large creatures.
Sweet. Anybody bring any swamps?
Yep.
Because my son would love that.
There's some living slaters.
We've been walking for about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours now, around the lake. About three quarters of the way there. And I think we found close to 10 caches. All different, all quite interesting. The nighttime ones certainly would be difficult if you were by yourself I think having six sets of torches, in some cases two you know, per person, has helped us. But it's a gorgeous night, and yeah, we're getting close to the end of our loop. So there's a couple of people that I'm walking around with tonight, and one of them is Katie.
Yes.
And you live in New Zealand, but you're from the UK, is that right?
That's right. Been over in New Zealand 7 years now. Yeah, settled in Hamilton.
Okay. Now, how long have you been geocaching?
About 2 years. A friend down in Wellington got me into it, and yeah, really enjoy it. My kids love it.
I was going to ask, what is it that you like most about caching? Obviously, getting the kids out, or any other things?
I'm a big fan of the puzzles, solving the puzzles, and yeah, bringing the kids out. My five-year-old just loves finding the boxes and going through the swaps and finding things to play with, while Mum does the boring bit of signing the logbook.
And have you been caching outside of New Zealand?
Yeah, did a few back in the UK last year when we were over there, but that's the extent of it so far.
And any differences between caching here in New Zealand and up in the UK?
Nah, not a lot. It's all pretty much the same. Yeah. Follow the coordinates. It just starts with an N when you're over there.
And tonight we've been doing a few nighttime caches. This is your first time out caching specifically for night caches?
It is, yeah. Normally we're constrained by the kids, so we don't tend to go out so much in the evenings. One of us needs to stay home and babysit, so getting together with a group of other people to come out was my first opportunity to do it.
Okay, thanks for joining us on GeoTalk.
Thank you.
Another person here walking around with is Steve. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, I understand you're a bit of a history buff and that you'd like to incorporate history with the geocaches that you hide.
Yeah, well, I'm relatively new to it. I really don't like ones where it just tells you to go to point A. And I think it's important for people to actually learn about the history, because without it, they don't know where they come from. And usually I put clues actually in the story. So most often they're stuffed if they don't actually read it.
It's good to know. I mean, it's great that you're doing that, and you're not just hiding a bit of Tupperware in the bush or out in the urban areas. How long have you been caching?
4 months.
And what drew you to it?
I just like the concept that there's a whole lot of... We walk around all the time, and there's all this stuff going on that you wouldn't normally see. And to know that it's there and others don't is, yeah, quite good.
So you like the secretive nature?
Oh, yeah, I quite like the secretive nature, but also it's good activity you can do on your own or just with family. It's good to now and again get together with other people and have a bit of a laugh and tell stories where people have fallen into creeks and that sort of thing. So,
and you've done most of your caching around the Hamilton area, or have you spread out across the country?
Spread out pretty much all across the North Island, done a fair bit over in Victoria, around Melbourne. And, yeah, just sort of only been in a short time, so I'll get further.
And if anyone was thinking of coming to the area, any caches you recommend or anything you recommend they do while they're here?
Yeah, there's some, especially in Hamilton, there's a number of caches up and down the river paths, so you can actually take in the city while walking up and down through the reserves and doing some good puzzle caches, multi-caches and trads while you're going.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for joining us on the podcast. Looks like we've got a log that we have to sign. They've found it while we've been chatting, so thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, it's starting to rain now, which is a bit unfortunate because we spent the last 2 hours without it. But I'm chatting to Chris, who's also known by Sidecar Inn. And how long have you been caching?
Just over 6 years. Started in the end of 2004.
Right, so you'd be classed as one of the old-timers.
Oh, one of them.
What brought you to geocaching?
I think I got a radio that had a GPS in it, and I wondered what you could do with a GPS. So I looked around and found something on the internet, geocaching, and that's how I got into it.
So over the last 6 years that you've been caching, or 7 years that you've been caching in New Zealand, what have you seen change?
The more white crows, the digital, you know, move to digital stuff, paperless caching, which is all good, positive stuff. That's about it, really, I think.
Have you been caching outside of New Zealand?
Yes, I've been to Melbourne last year. That was quite hard because I did it on foot, but I managed to hook up with a local geocacher and went out one afternoon, did a few. That was good. Mm-hmm. So on the whole, it was just walking around town. And the micros in the city, it was quite hard.
Yeah. Any aspect of caching in New Zealand that sort of stands out, or what do you think is the best aspect of caching here?
I think a lot of the harder ones with a lot of tramping, mountain stuff. I don't do a lot of that, but that would be quite good.
And just to translate for the Aussie listeners, tramping is hiking.
Yeah.
And what do you hope to do in caching? You got any goals that you've set for yourself over the next year or two?
Not really. My forte is first to finds, so I like to keep up with those. Of course, I'm sure the locals will get fed up with that. But
how many are you up to?
About nearly 200. Yeah.
That's a pretty good effort.
Yeah, about 25% or something in total.
Wow, that's incredible.
But apart from that, I just do them when I can. I don't go out to get a bag a few. Just sometimes on a trip, might go for some, but I don't really go all out for it, like some of the locals do.
And any recommendations for people who are thinking of coming across either from Australia or overseas to New Zealand and who want to go caching?
Not really, just it was handy if you can know someone to go out with, as you're doing today. That's a good way to get some local caching in and meet some different people. But apart from that, it can be pretty solitary when you're by yourself in a strange city.
Well, they're a pretty friendly bunch here in New Zealand, so I highly recommend your suggestion, and thanks very much for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you very much. Well, hope you listen to it soon.
And the final member of our intrepid crew going around the lake is Julie. Now, Julie, you have a connection with Alan.
Yeah, he's my dad.
And what's your caching name?
Geo Cooley.
Okay. Now, who got into it first? Yourself, you or Alan?
Dad did, but it was actually my big sister that got Dad into it.
Right. So it's a bit of a caching family.
Yeah, well, Mum and Dad are the ones who do it mainly. Then there's me, and both my sisters do it, but hardly ever now.
Now, you've got two kids, 4 and 1. Did they come out caching with you?
Yep. Yeah, that's very, very rare to go without them.
Okay. I suppose in New Zealand you don't have any nasties really at all, so it's pretty safe to go caching with kids.
Yeah, we just have to watch out for things like cliffs and running water, and that's about it.
And the kids running away.
Yeah, luckily we can run faster than them still.
What do you like most about caching?
It's just a way to get outside and get active, which not our normal personality type things to do, so it's fun.
Would it be true to say you've discovered a lot of Hamilton that you didn't see growing up here?
Yes, yeah, you find parks that you never knew existed, and it's cool with kids because you find playgrounds and places they want to go that you wouldn't have known otherwise.
And if anyone was thinking of coming to visit, any things that you can recommend for them to do cache-wise?
I personally like the Werrigos, probably because a lot of them are ours, and we've designed them with lots of child-friendly ones and also ones that you can actually get quite a lot of caches in. So you can go for a long walk and get a lot of the traditionals at the same time.
All right. Well, look, thanks very much for both yourself and your dad and everyone else who's come along to take me night caching in around Hamilton. And thanks very much for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
It's day 2 of my trip to New Zealand, and I've just spent the morning caching with Alan. Thanks very much for taking us around.
Well, it was lots of fun. Thanks, Darren.
Yeah, well, we managed to find some of your caches that, which I should point out, there's some really great ones. There's some technology-based ones. I won't give away how they work or anything like that. That's for you to find out when you come here. But last night when we went caching, there were a few names that stumped me, and I remember the previous two occasions. There's a bit of flora or plant life that's here that I don't quite understand. Now, one of them goes by the name of ponga, is it?
It's a panga. Panga is a tree fern, and that's a very common fern in our bush and an easy thing to hide a cache in as well, and so that's very common. But the worst one is the Harakeke bush, which is the Māori name for flax. And the flax bush can be very large. It can be 3 or 4 metres high by 2 or 3 metres across and grow in clumps and give millions of places you have to search in. And you can even hide an ammo can in one of them and be quite difficult to find it at times.
Mm-hmm. Are there any dangerous sort of plant things that we need to look out for? Because I know in the US they talk about poison ivy and some of those sort of plants. We don't have too many of that back in Australia. Anything that you, visitors need to look out for in New Zealand?
Not really. There's the traditional things like blackberry, which has prickles and so on. There are some nettles around, which you can get a mild burn off, but very, very few of them. So that's not a problem in our country.
Mm-hmm. Now, the animal life, when I've been down in the South Island, I've been attacked by sandflies, and they can have a nasty itch. Many in the North Island?
Oh, yes, there's a few of them and the mosquitoes. The mosquitoes don't carry disease, but any time you get into a shady area that's damp, you can quite quickly get surrounded by mosquitoes. And so a little bit of insect repellent is a good idea when you're caching.
Okay. And there's no other nasty, bitey things here in the country?
That's really the benefit of this country. There really aren't. We have possums that we've brought across from Australia some long time ago, but they run like mad, so they're not going to go anywhere near a person. There's really no hazard other than something you do yourself, like falling into a creek or something silly like that in our country.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, look, thanks very much for your hospitality and having me here overnight. It's been a bit of a lightning visit. I got a bit of a look around Hamilton. I'm obviously going to drive through on the way back out and have another look. And thank you very much, too, for your contributions to the podcast over the last year and a half.
Oh, it's kind of fun, Darren. Thanks for having me. And I really enjoy putting a little bit of New Zealand perspective into it.
All right. Thank you. Now for about 2.5 hours coming out of Hamilton, actually probably a little bit more, almost 3 hours, and any of the locals will tell you, well, it's actually about a 2-hour drive between Hamilton and Auckland, but then those locals wouldn't be geocaches, would they? The State Highway 1 has quite a healthy number of drive-bys along the way. I've probably racked up about half a dozen, a couple of stops here and there, probably some of the more interesting ones. There was a few around Huntly, which is a town with a power station, a coal-fired power station, quite unusual for New Zealand, and a couple of others that seem to have quite a number of travel bugs. I think two of them were roadside stops. So there's certainly no shortage of them as you're driving along between the two cities. Day 3 of my trip in New Zealand, and it's the day after the World Cup game, and probably by now you've already checked out what the score was in the Australia-Ireland game. It wasn't a great result, not for Australia. Ireland winning 15-6. No, I won't go into it too much, but to say that Ireland played a really good game and Australia didn't. Anyway, it's a blustery morning. Hopefully the wind isn't coming too much through the mic, but I'm standing on the top of Mount Eden, which is a volcanic mountain located just south of the city. And it's probably a must-do thing if you're coming to visit Auckland for the first time. Come up here to the peak and you can get an idea of just how big Auckland is. And you can see the city line and so forth. And also there are two geocaches. There's one earth cache and there's one... It's a bit of a virtual cache where you have to go up to the geodic marker up there. But anyway, I've done a bit of walking around. I've taken a few photos. We'll add it to the picture library from this trip. And we might head off and see a bit more of Auckland while we're up here.
Well, it's day four now on our great New Zealand adventure and flown down to Wellington. And although it is the Windy City, it's not too bad along this walk as we're heading towards New Zealand's oldest geocache, planted back in the year 2000. Still survives, and from all accounts, it's still a white, large white bucket, just like the one I found up near Auckland. So the trail is actually a road. It goes for about a kilometre from a car park, and in amongst some fairly nice forests, lots of ferns on either side and even a couple of gum trees by the looks of it. So we'll head off to this cache and see if we can find it. After a fairly uneventful and brisk 10-minute walk, we crossed the little creek or river and made our way to GZ, which seems to be protected by blackberry and other spiky things. So apart from that, and me finding the hardest way in, located the cache, and it's, as I thought, it's your classic sort of 10-12 litre plastic bucket, very similar to the original Lane Cove one that was the first one in Sydney. And found a few travel bugs and a few other items. It's a little bit damp, which is disappointing, but yeah, the area is quite nice. It's like a little sort of cleared area that you could, I suppose, have a picnic if you wanted to. But it's surrounded by trees and hills and, yeah, it's your typical sort of original geocache hide. So, yeah, it's New Zealand's oldest cache. I'll post some photos up on the website so you can check them out. And from memory, I think the code was GC4B, so if you wanted to check it out, or GC4P, I can't remember which one, I'll correct myself later on. Anyway, we're going to, I'm here with Muggle David, who is quite amused by my geocaching obsession. We're going to wander our way back to the car and take a slightly different route, where there's a couple of geocaches along the way, and hopefully we'll find those as well. Just completed about a 4 kilometre loop walk after finding that original geocache, which incidentally is actually GC46, so it's even earlier than I thought. So GC46, great to get one of those four-digit hides. So we found 6 caches in total along a 4k walk. It took us up into some nice forest, a bit of eucalypt and a bit of other New Zealand native plants, and didn't see anything in the way of wildlife apart from a few little birds flying around. But it's a gorgeous walk, and if you're coming to Wellington and you're looking at finding a couple of caches along a trail that's out of the city and get a bit of fresh air, then come up, look up the code GC46 and come and have a look for some of those caches along the route. Well, that's not doing too much caching today. That pretty much winds it up. Might do a few more tomorrow morning before I fly out of Wellington back to Sydney. But hopefully you're enjoying it and get a bit of a taste for what it's like to be caching in New Zealand. I think even my Muggle friend David might be convinced to give it a go. Day 5 of my trip to New Zealand, and I'm actually in the departure lounge at Wellington International Airport getting ready to fly back to Sydney. Spent the morning caching in the Wellington CBD, and there are no shortage of geocaches in the CBD. It seems to be that every street corner in the CBD has one. I think there are easily somewhere of the order of about 50 within walking distance. So you've got no excuse not to find a whole heap if you're spending at least a day in Wellington. Most of them are clip tins, so they're sort of micro-sized, very similar to the ones back home. So 14 in a morning in about 2.5 hours, not a bad effort, and that brings the tally for the trip to I think about 50 or close to 50, and that's not really going hard. I think at least two of those days I really didn't do any caching, so yeah, you can easily rack up some big numbers, particularly when you're coming to a new area. So before I go, a big thank you to Alan and Linda, Radio Nut 50 and Butterfly Lady, and all their friends and family for looking after me in Hamilton, and also to my friends in Wellington and Auckland for taking care of me and my trip around New Zealand. It's a great place to cache. If you're from Australia, not too many differences. If you're from overseas, you'll certainly have a fantastic time. So until we come back again to New Zealand in October next year for the mega event, and until next episode, safe geocaching.